Please go to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's amazing how the manifestations are just so great. That's what we're going to look at. And the title of the teaching is Something Worth Looking Into. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 3. Going to get a little run up to this. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith or believing be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your believing, the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching out or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto him it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit, small h or small g, small h, small s, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So here towards the end we see that something that was so important that the prophets had prophesied, but it wasn't for them. A lot of their stuff that was prophesying was for us in this administration. And it says they searched diligently out those things about the Spirit of Christ, what that would entail being in them. And something so amazing that the angels looked into. Now, where do the angels hang out? They hang out around by God. But they were like, this is amazing. We got to look at this. And they searched it out. In verse 11, the end of that says, we'll start out, that the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That word glory should be glories, should be plural. And does anybody have another different translation than the King James here? Okay, so it's in other versions it is glories, and in the Working Translation, which I like, it says matters of glory. And I used to think a while ago that it was like the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, or glories that should follow, was referring to Christ coming back again. But what happened after the sufferings of Christ? And that would include his death, because there's no greater suffering than being dead. Okay, so what happened after his sufferings, his death? What happened?
Resurrection.
The resurrection. Okay. And then what happened 50 days after that? Spirit, Holy Spirit poured out upon all men. So there was not just a single glory, which would include definitely the return of Christ, but it includes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ from that point forward. So there are multiple glories. There are matters of glories. And those were the things that the prophets were looking into, and the angels, and some things we're going to look at. So go to Romans chapter 5. Oh, wait, now we're here. Before you go, put on the brakes. Go to verse 23 of the same chapter. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. The word glory, which we see a lot of, has many definitions, a wide variety of definitions. Has to do with like opinions and judgments of view, like characteristic traits. Of course, when we talk to God, they're going to be very exalted, very, very high. Of course, and we saw here with man, the glory of man, not so much, right? Withers and fades away. You know, today, tomorrow, gone. Okay? It also giving acknowledgement, you know, giving glory, like they talk about praise, honor, and glory. You're kind of acknowledging that. It's also a splendor or brightness. And we'll see in the definitions, the context will kind of describe which kind of definition it is. And it also could be like an exalted state, because we saw in verse 7, verse 8, I'm sorry, the end of verse 8, which says, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Like we're just so blessed out of our minds that we're in an exalted state. Okay? And it also could mean his manifested power. Like the glory of God, the power of God. Okay? So, Romans chapter 5. And in verse 1 of Romans 5, chapter 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Okay, it's not just referring to the return, but it's referring to what we have in Christ. We're born again creatures. We have Holy Spirit. We have 9 manifestations of that Holy Spirit. We can walk and talk with God. We can bless. So it's not just, but it would include the return, but it's from, you know, from all the stuff we have since we got born again, since what was made available the day of Pentecost. And verse 3, and it says, and because of this glory, rejoice in the hope of glory, and not only so, but we glory, we boast in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. So that we can endure, we can persevere. We know presently in our current events in our world, especially in our culture, we are dealing with tribulations and temptations. And as we put God on the line and we trust Him, we'll have that experience, right? And then we'll get that patience. And then we have the hope. We know that if God does it now, He's certainly going to get it in the end. Mm-hmm. So it's that you know, the matters of glory, which are worth looking into. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 3 of Romans. It says, knowing ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto His death, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Okay? And sometimes I think glory has, with several of the definitions, would imply here. But look at that. By the glory of the Father, that we can walk, as Jesus Christ walked in newness of life, we may not have all what He has, His resurrected body, but we have His Spirit. We can walk like He can, and we are told to do it. And we've been enabled. We have rights, privileges, and abilities. And we can do that. That is the newness of life. That is a matter of glory. And then, verse 5, it says, for if we've been planted together or united with or identified with in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So that's the return. We got it. We got a lot of the stuff now. And those are all just pointing to the great glory and that total unitedness that we're going to have with Christ. Okay? We are like He is now, but we will also be like He is too when Christ comes back. Then we'll receive fully all that's been made available. Matters of glory worth looking into. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Start in verse 5. says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Okay, we're made able ministers, but the contrast, we're going to see a contrast between here, the New Testament, referring to what we have in the New Testament, the New Covenant with God, the, you know, from getting born again, and the contrast with the letter, or referring to the Mosaic Law, you know, what they had in the Old Testament, okay? And we're going to see the different names or titles that each one of those are given. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, what is that referring to?
The law.
The law, the Mosaic Law, right? Was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit, or the New Testament, be rather glorious? And that's that word melon, rather. Rather is that word melon, which is a greater importance. Yes, the Mosaic Law, the ones that he talked about, the stones, the one that first time God wrote with his finger, and then once he threw down, when he got down the mountain, and had to go up and write them again, but God made Moses chisel them out. But if that was to be done away with and called the administration of death, and that was glorious, what about this new administration, okay? And the law always, with the law, you always realize how short, you know, how we fell short as mankind. Our flesh was definitely frail, and it just, that's why all the sacrifices they had to do and all those things, and then once a year the Day of Atonement, right, where the priest would go in and make atonement for the sins of the whole people. But during the law, then when he came out of the temple, next year he would be right back in there doing the same thing, because it was frail. It was pointing to the return of Jesus Christ and the glory that we have now, that righteousness that we have without the law. Okay, verse 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. It's kind of like, that was glorious, you know, but this is even more glorious, like the first cars, like the Model T. It was a car, but it doesn't compare to the cars we have today. You know, so that's why he said it just doesn't compare. It was just so much more glorious. Let's go to verse 17, same chapter, 17-18. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, now this is kind of referring to when Moses, remember it says that Moses came down, that, you know, he had to put a veil on his face because of the what shone, you know, from the things written in the stone was reflecting off his face, and he was just so lit up, right, because he had the word. That's what it's referring to. It's not like we don't look in a mirror, which is talking about the glass. We don't look in the mirror and see the glory of the Lord. We look in the Word, and that reflects into us, and that's what gives the glory the light. Okay? I look in the mirror, and it's like, it gets worse and worse each day, year by year. That's not it. You know, right? The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed. So it's, when we look in the Word, that's as if, you know, like, he was looking in at the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law. We got the new commandment now. We look into that, and that's what gives, you know, that's what, and it reflects back to God, but that's what we reflect, right? We speak for Christ, we speak the things of God, and people say, ah, you know, those guys are different over there, you know? So those are matters of glories that we need to look into. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again. We're not going there. We now have 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In this administration, God provided 3 additional manifestations for the one body. We have speaking in tongues, which we heard today, prophecy and interpretation. OMG. Those were not available because there was no one body there back then. Now there is a one body. There is a church, the body of Christ. And God provided all these things to help, you know, comfort, exhort, and edify. And we could have ended it, at the manifestations today. They were so great. And we need to hold on to those. Those are matters of glories that we look into. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Matters of glory. Verses 5 and 6. Having predestinated us unto the adoption or the sonship of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, God's grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are highly favored in the beloved, and we're to the praise of God's glory. Which is almost, if it wasn't written, it'd be almost blasphemous to think that we could be to the praise of God's anything, let alone of his glory, maybe his excellent characteristics, his mighty power, his superb radiance. It's like, that's just talk about joy upon joy. Let's continue 11 and 12. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We got more stuff. We have an inheritance. Mm-hmm. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him of God who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. There it is again. It's established. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We're going to read start 12, verse 12, Colossians 1. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, more matters of glory, who hath delivered or rescued us from the exercised power of darkness, and hath delivered us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Look at that. Even though it doesn't say glory in there, but we are rescued, we're delivered from the exercised power of darkness, and we're into God's kingdom. Matters of glory? I think so. Something worth looking into. Let's go to verses 21 and 22. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. We're presented by Jesus Christ. We stand along Jesus Christ, and God finds no fault in us. Unblameable, without blemish. We can't, even if, and we know the devil is sometimes called the accuser, even if even the adversary brings accusations against us, unimpeachable. Can't happen, because we are righteous in Christ. Matters of glory, for sure. 25, let's do 25, same chapter. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the administration of the God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And also we read that we are made able ministers, but Paul's talking about that he was made a minister according of this administration to preach the word, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26, the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And I mentioned that a little bit before. That was something that was hidden that they couldn't find. It was kind of God cloaked it. But there was plenty of prophecy where we read it, Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Joel, where there would be Christ in them, where God would put his word in hearts and in the inward parts, right? And on Acts 2, where it says Peter talks about prophecy from Joel, where it says this is what God was saying when he said he's going to pour out spirit upon all flesh, right? my handmaids and my maids, well, they will prophesy, they will dream dreams, you know. Those things were spoken of, but the mystery was that we would be made one body. That it wouldn't just be, God wouldn't just be dealing with a favored nation. He would be dealing with people as a whole. It wasn't that the Gentiles or other nations joined the Judean club. That wasn't it. It was from the Judean club and all other nations, which was most of the populated world, you know, and still is today, that would make one new group. One new man, so making peace. It's a whole new deal, whole new deal. And God deals with each and every person individually, not as a nation, as a whole. And the way our nation's going, I'm kind of happy about that. But those are matters of glory, okay? Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? Wow. Mm-hmm. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Okay, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels, okay, in verse 5, first part, and spared not the world, but saved Noah, verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. And if God, verse 7, delivered just not only Lot, but the just righteous Lot. So they're saying, oh, you know, like, when is Christ coming back? You know, he's slumbering, you know, it's lingering. But God knows how to deal with things, okay? And he said, if he spared not, we read it, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, spared not the angels that sinned. Spare not the old world and save Noah and save just Lot. Remember what God had to do for Lot? Abraham, right? It's like, oh, if there's 50 righteous, would you, you know, destroy some and more? No. He gets down to 5 and he ends up pulling out 4, but one turns back. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just Lot and his daughters ended up, you know, but that's our God, okay? He doesn't, we'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 8. For if the righteous man, talking about Lot, dwelling among them, talk about, you know, in Sodom and Gomorrah, seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government or dominion or lordship, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak of evil of dignities. And that word dignities is that same word in 1 Peter, these matters of glory. See, it seems like things, you know, God is not asleep at the switch. People right now speak evil of lordships and God, and but God knows how to deliver his people, and he knows how to recompense this. God hears and sees, and he has a very good memory. He knows. And for us, we're written in the book of life. So he just got to. So God knows how to deliver us. And reason being, let's go to chapter 3. And if we would keep reading, we'd read about more of these presumptuous people and evil, you know, evil people and speaking, you know, evil against lordships and dominion. We get down to chapter 3, verse 8. Where it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack. He's not slacker. He's not sleeping. He's not letting this thing slide. He's keeping track. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody. He would rather have a big, long, you know, award ceremony at the Bema than have to deal with the unrighteous. He will, and he will, believe me, he will do it justly and righteously, more than any man or group of men or anybody. He will take care of it. But he desires everyone to be saved. He doesn't want any to miss. And not that he's going to run out of room. You know, we read in 1 Peter where it says, you know, that our salvation, you know, is reserved in heaven. You know, our God's not going to run out of room. There's plenty of room up there. The more people, the merrier, right? It's not like, oh, sorry. And also not like, oh, sorry, I overbooked, you know, like a plane. You get there and it's like, oh, yeah, you paid the money, but we don't have a seat for you. You know, it's not like that either. You know, God's got it under control. And these are matters of glory to him. This is important to him, and it's important to us. Okay? And in Revelation 21, and while you're going there, in 1 Peter also, in 5, chapter 5, talks about a crown of glory given to the elders who are faithful. And as far as I see it, I think we all could apply. I think you all do apply. Okay? That's it. So, extra awards at the return. It's just mind-boggling. Revelation 21, verse 22 and 23. It says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. This is referring to, right, the time when Jesus Christ, after Jesus Christ does come back, and he makes war on unrighteousness, him and Jesus Christ. He cleans all that out, right? There is no more sin, sickness, no tear will dim the eye. We're talking about here the new or heavenly Jerusalem, right? And this is also part and matters of glory. And it says, and I saw no, that was verse 22, verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So there are plenty of matters for us to look into, and it's certainly worthy of our time and effort, and stuff we could grow in. We can ask God to help and grow in these things, and you know, shine His lights.